Hey everyone, Dr. Miles Nichols here. This is Module 1, Video 5, Mind Root Causes. Here we're going to be speaking about some of the main mind root causes for chronic illness. It's not all about the body. The body is significant. And functional medicine labs define those body root causes are really, really important in reversing chronic illness. And functional medicine is one of the best things well suited to reversing chronic illness. That being said, there are also mind root causes related to chronic illness. I think it's very, very clear in research at this point that stress impacts chronic disease and makes most chronic illnesses worse than without stress. And the way that we perceive stress plays an important role in how detrimental that stress is to our health. So, we'll talk about the perception of stress more in another video and how important that is. I want to review with you the main model for the mind root causes for chronic illness contribution from the psychological piece. So trauma. Now, trauma is huge. There's been trauma and abuse. There have been very, very large studies, the ACE studies, the adverse childhood experiences studies have followed thousands and thousands of people and found that having two or more adverse childhood experiences, which basically are defined by traumas, abuses, parents ending up in jail, parents going through a divorce, targeted social rejection, and a few other emotional upheavals and things, the death of a parent, these kinds of things, adverse childhood experiences are considered to play a significant role in research in chronic disease formation. And we know that two or more adverse childhood experiences increases the chance for autoimmune disease, increases the chance for a multitude of other disease processes. The more that adverse childhood experiences go up, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, increase chances for behavior problems like addiction, so binge drinking or having some addictive behavior that's harmful is more likely when there were more adverse childhood experiences. And adverse childhood experiences have been connected with many, many disease processes, including cardiovascular disease, cancer, many of the big killers today. So adverse childhood experiences, you might be thinking, well, what do I do about that? People have already had those childhood experiences. There are things that we can do about that. This isn't the video where we're going to dive deep into that, but I'll say that we can change and people can change the way that they relate to their past experiences, and that can actually shift present moment experience. So trauma and abuse clearly are contributing factors for chronic illness. Addictions clearly can get in the way of people getting results. Let's say someone's changed their diet and they're doing great on their diet and they've started exercising and they're doing great on their exercise, but they have an alcohol addiction and they're drinking 2 to 3, sometimes 4 drinks every single day. Do you think that might get in the way of their recovery? Absolutely. It depends on the chronic disease, but many, many times an addiction can sabotage part of the healing process. And of course, people have sugar addictions, which makes dietary change hard. And people can have addiction to negative relationships, and that can create emotional distress. And that emotional distress can contribute to increases in cortisol, and that increased cortisol can contribute to dysregulation in the nervous system and all sorts of other byproducts that are problematic in HPA axis dysregulation. And we know that that is connected with so many other disease processes as well. Isolation. Some of the studies on loneliness and social isolation are showing it as big a risk factor for disease as smoking 15 cigarettes per day. I mean, we all know that smoking cigarettes is a big problem. We know that being obese increases risk for disease, but social isolation does so as much as many of those other things that are well known. But it's not well known yet. So it's important that as holistically minded functional medicine clinicians that are looking to take functional medicine to the next level and create a mindfulness medicine kind of an approach in our clinical practice, we need to assess clients for how are their relationships. Are they lonely? Are they having a good community of friends and network of people that they have good behaviors with? In our clinic, we really often, frequently, not only have group visits where people can come and feel like they have a sense of community right within our clinic, but we also connect people with other people through suggestions. Like if someone is lonely or isolated or only spending time with family and maybe a couple friends periodically and don't have as much social connectivity and spending a lot of time in their home, we'll recommend things like meetup.com and to go there and to find some groups with some interests or to join a class at a rec center or to go out and do a yoga class or a qigong or a tai chi class, ways to go meet people, ways to interact, find people with similar mindsets, especially healthy mindsets. Because as we're helping people to reverse the root causes for chronic disease, they're going to have friends that may be doing things that may have been old patterns of behavior that no longer serve them. So isolation can sometimes get worse when undergoing functional medicine treatment because we're asking people to change their diet and their friends might not adhere to that and they might start hanging out with their friends less. So what we need to do is to help people to find more like-minded networks and social communities to be able to connect with that are going to support in that healthful process. Then we have fear and greed and blame. These are things that can really cause problems for people. If people are too fearful, they may not engage socially in the ways that they could. If they're too fearful, they may have difficulty with change and difficulty embracing changing diet, changing lifestyle. And if they're stuck in worry, that can actually contribute to cortisol levels and contribute to dysregulated HPA axis. Greed, people can also isolate themselves by being greedy, and they're not helping and serving and supporting their friends. Often that pushes people towards isolation, destroys relationships, and can contribute to worsened emotions. Blame is a bad one because when people blame themselves or others, play that victim role, that sometimes, especially if blame is towards oneself, people can feel at some point like they don't deserve to get well. And if someone doesn't feel like they deserve to get healthy, they can try making all the changes that they want, but subconsciously often there's going to be a self-sabotage that's going to kick in at some point. So we need to help people to forgive themselves and others. And that actually can be helpful in the healing process. And then beliefs and attitudes. If someone has beliefs that are toxic nutritional beliefs that are preventing them from eating the right kind of diet, or if they have an attitude of it being a dog-eat-dog world and they need to fend for themselves and no one's going to support them through their process, or if they have beliefs that they're really not able to understand what needs to happen in order to create and sustain a healthful life, any belief that would block that is going to be a possible root cause of chronic illness. And we sometimes do need to work on people's beliefs, the belief that they deserve to get well, their beliefs that are what is proper nutrition and what is proper lifestyle activities that are healthful. And so that's an important piece. Lack of purpose. Lack of purpose is huge. There are studies that show that people who serve others, even who are under high stress, have lower mortality ratings by a significant percentage than people who have high stress who are not serving others. Altruism, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaningfulness, giving back, serving to others, volunteering. These are things that actually improve health outcomes. So it is an important piece of the healing process for people to look into their heart, find what is meaningful to them and pursue that, especially as they're gaining energy when they're healing from chronic illness that we might be helping to reverse. Attachment to outcome is another one that, of course, creates internal suffering, unhappiness, when people want things to be a certain way and then they don't turn out to be that way, if people are too attached, gosh, I really wanted things to work out with this relationship and they didn't work out, getting too attached can send someone into grief, can send someone into fear, can send someone into blame, can cause many of the negative emotional experiences that contribute to cortisol elevation and HPA axis dysregulation and improper vagal nerve activation. We want the vagal nerve, which can regulate the parasympathetic nervous activity, certain branches of the vagus nerve that are myelinated branches can really help to keep people calm and relaxed. So attachment to outcome is one thing that can get the sympathetic nervous system activated and the sympathoadrenal medullary system activated and the HPA, the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis, overactive with hypercortisolism or excessive cortisol. And that, of course, can contribute to difficulty in getting well and into worsening of symptoms from any chronic disease that a person has. So these are some mind root causes that are missing pieces from many of the functional medical models. So I encourage, in addition to doing lab testing and questioning, looking for physiologic signs for body root causes, I also encourage you to please look at the psychologic realm and understand that a person's beliefs and their history and whether they're isolated or in healthful relational dynamics and whether they're harboring fear and resent and blame and greed, these things do play a role. So please watch out for these, and this can be a helpful frame for you to look for the big heavy-hitting mind root causes that can contribute to or make worse chronic disease. So in mindfulness medicine, it's basically the evolution of functional medicine to include not only body root causes, but also mind root causes. This is very, very important. We want to look at the body and the mind. We want to look at relationship dynamics, and we want to look at the environment. And that's how we're having a more integral type of medicine that helps to get deeper towards root causes and resolve more complex chronic illness. And that's really what I want as a clinician for myself, and I believe you might want for yourself. So be sure to integrate body and mind. So thank you so much for watching this video. In the next video, we'll be doing a course overview. Thanks so much and take care.